So I have a children's story, so I need some children. And we can do adults today too. This is an adult game. Okay, let me make it easier for you. How many of you have ever played chess? Okay, two of those people who raised their hands come forward. So have you ever seen this before? So we got one yes, one no. Oh, you have? This is my chessboard. I've not played for a long time. Oh man, she's losing her eyes. I haven't played in a long time because I could never get the girls to play with me. But there is hope for Sawyer. I'm thinking I can teach him to play. So how many of you guys play games? This is an adult question too. Adult question too, how many of you play games? Okay. How many have ever played with someone that might have not played fairly? No. The worst thing I ever did is when Alicia was young, she wanted me to play Foursquare with them. Has everybody played Foursquare? Yeah, I bounce a ball into a square. I think Foursquare has two rules. You can't carry the ball, and it has to land in the square. Nope. Yes, you're right. There are like 500 rules, okay? Because after about 5 minutes, when she kept telling me I did something wrong, I said, you know what, I'm done. I played this game before. Well, chess is a game that has quite a few rules. In fact, I had to look at the rules because I hadn't played for a long time. I couldn't remember where the king and the queen went. So just as an FYI, white queen goes in the white square, black queen goes in black square. I couldn't remember. But it has a lot of rules. And so the knight, so that you that have played, how does the knight go? Yeah, or you can do that. Bishop? Diagonally on whatever color it's on. The queen, who's all-powerful?
Anywhere.
And the king, who thinks he's all-powerful?
One square
at a time. Pawns?
One square except for the
open. Two on the first one, one after that. And so there's lots of rules, and then they've got all these special things. Well, God has given us rules, and he's given us a rule book. So his rule book for us is the Bible. And really, he's given us two rules, kind of together. It's to love God with all of our heart and all of our mind, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so in my message today, I'm going to talk about rules, lots of rules. But no matter what game you're playing has rules, but for our religious rules, we really just have those two things. And it's important to remember that. And that's not just for the chess kids. That's for all the kids, okay? All right, let us pray. Father, we're grateful that the children came forward today, and whether they were young children or older children, and we see the rules that you have for us are really pretty simple. No matter how hard things may seem in our life, it really comes down to those couple of statements. Amen. Thank you. Thank the young children and the older children. So our scripture lesson today is from Mark. It's chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is the one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all heart, and with all understanding, with all strength.'" "And it's much more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that, he answered them wisely, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So I called this rules. My mom saved stuff for me, okay? So when I was in high school, this would be the 1972-73 version, this was all the rules that you had to obey in high school. It included such things that would never be in there now, like where the smoking area was and where you could smoke, where you couldn't smoke. And what are you guys laughing for? You can't do that now? And that was it. That was the whole rule book for high school. So in that town that we don't talk about, I was on the school board for 8 years. And every year, we had to approve the rules. Now, how many teachers? Teachers, raise your hands for a minute, administrators. Okay, so the last time I did this was 2005. The rules, and this was the elementary school rules, okay, was an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that was about that thick. I'm thinking there's more rules on that paper than there is in here. I might be wrong. And so what they're talking about here is this rules for life, what we're really supposed to do. And so you need to remember that there's no love between the law expert, the scribes, and the Sadducees. Scribes basically tried to translate oral law and give it meaning to regular people. And you need to remember that people couldn't read, so they weren't going to look at it in a book or a piece of paper or anything. It had to be told to them. And so they would try to do that. Sadducees didn't believe in oral law. If it wasn't written, which means it was mostly going to be in the Bible, then it wasn't really law. So they only believe in the written law. And I know that you find this hard to believe, but what they did was they kept expanding and expanding the laws all the time and the rules. And we're no different. I mean, every year when they come up with new laws, nobody from the state of Indiana says, oh, well, there's, you know, a whole bunch of them that are kind of stupid and we should get rid of them. They hardly ever do that. And if you go back and look, some rules, laws are still on the books, and they really, really don't apply. It's like you can't bring your horse in the barn or something. I mean, it's just stupid stuff that no one's ever gotten rid of. And so we just keep adding more laws and more laws to it. Well, that was kind of what was going on at this time, except every once in a while, someone would come along and say, you know what, instead of having, you know, five things that are rules, is there a way to kind of put it together? And that's sort of what Jesus is doing here. And so I picked out some just to give you an idea. And I don't use different scriptures very often, but I'm going to do that today. So this is Psalm, boy, I can't read the blue very well, 15:1-5. Psalm of David, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your heart, who shall dwell on your holy hill. He who walks blamelessly, does what is right, speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against a friend, in whose eyes the vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not make a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. So in that one, if you go through and look at them, in the Psalm of David, he has 11 rules to follow. If you go to Isaiah, this is 33:15. I got two different ones from Isaiah. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppression, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil. So there's six in that one verse there. And this is from Micah. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly in the Lord? So that one, there's only three. And then this is Isaiah later on. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed. So he kind of bordered it down to two. And this is from Habakkuk. Behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright with him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. So in Habakkuk, he got it down to one. So Jesus really puts this into two commandments. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And, second part, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. And that's from part of Mark, that 12, 30-31. When I've talked about loving your neighbor, I have always looked at who the neighbor is, who are our neighbors. Our neighbors just the people that live around us. So in my case, is it Dave and Janet and Bob and Carol? Steve on the other side? Or is my neighbor everybody that lives on my street? Or is my neighbor everybody who lives in Yorktown? Or is my neighbor everybody who lives in Delaware County? And I've kind of focused on that. Who are our neighbors? But I think I need to talk about something different today. And it's when it talks about, do you love yourself? And if you look around at the world and you see how people harm one another and you see how people use drugs or abuse themselves by legal medication and overtake it, or find different ways to harm themselves, is the problem that they don't love themselves. And if you don't love yourselves, then how can you love your neighbor? So this love yourself is something I think we need to take a closer look at. So I don't want you to be so me-driven that you only think of yourself and that everything revolves around you. I have a 2-year-old grandson. That's the way he is now. Everything revolves around him. It's okay when you're 2. It's not okay when you get something older than 2, but we'll say at least 5 or 6, okay? But I've had teenage girls before. I don't know if it's that way in everybody's house, but there's pretty much a lot of me revolving around them all the time. It was all about them. And we grow out of that stuff. The question is, what if you don't grow out of it as an adult? And so I want us all to think about how we care about each other, how it's important for us to take care of ourselves, to be confident in ourselves, to not harm ourselves, to not do things that bring harm to ourselves, but not make it just all about us. So there's a happy medium in there somewhere. But I really wonder if people really love themselves, had a good feeling about themselves, would they be able to harm others and harm themselves as they do? And anytime you watch the news and there's always something that somebody did bad to somebody, and it was in the paper today, there was 2 or 3 in the papers for that, I think, how could they hurt somebody like that if they really cared about themselves? And so part of us being disciples to bring people to the Lord is to make them have good feelings about themselves to some degree, so that they know that people love and care for them, that they would do stuff for them no matter what was going on in their lives. So then the other thing he talks about is, so this love that we're sharing, I've always had a hard time describing how much more God loves me than I can love people. I mean, I just don't know that I have a very good definition of that. So a couple weeks ago, I shared with you guys that the boys, my grandson's other grandfather, passed away kind of unexpectedly. And Benita and I had gone down there a couple times, and we either gone down to the funeral, or we were taking some food down to Mimi, as the boys call her, taking food to Mimi. And Benita said, you know, there were 2 men that would have done anything to protect those boys, and now one of them's gone. And I thought, maybe that is just like a glimpse of the kind of love that God has for us each and every day. And when she said that, I thought, I would never let somebody harm those boys, even if I had to die. I would do whatever it took to protect them. And I thought, that's probably just like, if we're talking about a yardstick, it's probably like a centimeter of how much God loves us. And so I'm still not sure that I have a very good description of that, but I think that helped me at least get kind of an idea. And so what else he's saying in this passage is, for old times, people thought that if they could do the rules, follow the rules, that everything would be okay. And so if you came to the temple and you brought your lamb or your doves or your pigeons, whatever you fell in for where your place was in the world, and you sacrificed and you went to all this, to the festivals and everything that you're supposed to do, then everything was going to be okay for you. And so sometimes I think we look at that and go, well, that's kind of silly. Well, but do we do the same thing, but just in a different way? And so for us, do we think that if we come to church 50 Sundays out of the year or 52 Sundays out of the year, is that our ritual that takes place of God's love towards us? So we don't want to become so dependent on the ritual of doing stuff that we don't see God's love towards us. And the most important part of that love is then how we share it with others, how we decide to share it. And so are we going to share it, or are we going to go, well, that's my love that God gave me, and I'm keeping it to myself because I can. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share it. And so for us, do we worship just in church? It says, I wrote church the first time, I thought, no, I meant building. I really meant building. Do we just worship in this building, and that's the only place we worship, or do we worship outside the building? And if we only worship in the building, that probably means we only worship one day a week. And so my question to you is, how do you worship outside this building? And I'm not necessarily talking about reading the Bible or listening to a Bible study, or I have an app on my phone where I'm doing a Bible study every day on the phone and it dings and reminds me when I forget. I'm not talking about that, but part of worship is sharing. How do we share God's love with us to others? And so we're doing the shoeboxes. I know they're not really shoeboxes, but I think we still call them shoeboxes, right? We're doing the shoeboxes that sort of look like plastic totes, but little to me, okay? And we share those with all around the world. So that's one way to worship. Problem with that worship is there's no direct contact with who we're worshiping with. They can see our love by what we send, we hope, but we don't get to share that love with them directly. I've shared with you guys that the Muncie Mission is trying to start a free clinic. So if you send the money to help them, it might be a way of showing worship, but you're not sharing it with anybody directly. They're going to need volunteers. If you're willing to volunteer, they'll probably have a place for you. That would be a way of worshiping directly. One of the things from Vacation Bible School was, and Jeremy and I talked about this week, and I've talked to Janet a little bit, is I've always had a concern about how we were going to get the youth and the adults of the church together. Because a lot of the youth doesn't come to church. It only comes to the youth group. One of the things that Vacation Bible School did, it put, I think there were about 12 youth, right, Jeremy? I think it was about 12, 12, and 12. 12 adults, 12 kids, 12 youth. It mixed that group up. I didn't really think about that happening that way, and I don't know if Janet did, but it mixed that group up. And so the youth got to see a way that the adults worship to the kids by sharing those experiments, the music, the arts and crafts, whatever that was. It was a way of worshiping. Now, it was in the church building, but it wasn't, a lot of those kids weren't part of the of what we see in church each Sunday. So it's a way for us to worship to them. When the youth group goes to Covenant Partners and they provide that meal, it's a way for them to worship with that group of people that it's unlikely that would be the only way they probably have contact with them. And so worship is more than just you going to church or you doing Bible study. It's you taking God's love that we've got in our heart and sharing it with others. However that works in your life. And you may have a way of doing it that I've not mentioned or even thought of. Because you know what? We're all different. And we have different ways of doing that. To share that love. So there's homework this week. It's been a long time since I gave homework, right? Okay. What I'd like for you guys to think about is how you can take that love that's if we're following those two rules in our hearts and our minds, how we are going to share that with people we come in contact with. How are you going to share it with people you come in contact with? So I got to see Fred this week. I had two fishing poles that I bought because when I was taking Sawyer home after vacation Bible school, we passed a pond, and he said, this shamed me into it. Grandpa, you haven't taken me fishing all year. I said, well, you're right about that. So my two poles had pretty much bit the dust, and so we're going fishing next Friday. I'll let you know how it works out. The good news is we're only about two blocks from his house, so when he's done, it's only a 5-minute walk back. And he'll tell you when he's done. Okay, I'm done. All right, we're done. When you're done, we're done. And so for me, that'll give us time for him and I to talk. Because the one thing that he'll do the whole time we're fishing is he'll talk to me. And that's okay. My grandpa, I told some people this story today. When my grandpa took me fishing, he told me, you know what, you can't talk because you're scared of the fish away. Even at between 5 and 8, I knew that was just because he didn't want to talk to me. Right? And so I knew that whenever I had grandchildren, so far it's only been Sawyer that we've taken fishing. Everybody else is too young, at least too young for me to take. I let him talk all he wants. And you know what? If we don't catch fish, it's not important. It's that time of being together. It's a time that I can share with him. So sometimes we think, well, I've got to be doing something. But it could be that you just need to talk with somebody, or maybe more importantly, and this is the case with Sawyer, when I say talk, I mean that means mostly I listen to what he tells me. Because he hasn't seen me for a couple weeks. He apparently has a really good memory because he'll tell me everything that happened over that 2 weeks. Grandpa, I did this, and Grandpa, I did that, and Grandpa. I said, Sawyer, when it's just the two of us, you do not have to start every sentence with Grandpa. I know you're talking to me. Okay. Grandpa. But we can reach out to people that way. And so finding someone to listen to sometimes is more that listens. And so I have a friend, she passed away several weeks ago, and I invited her husband to play golf. And we've tried to play a couple times, but the weather hasn't been too cooperative, but we did get to play once, and he really just talked for the whole 9 holes we played. And he just wanted to talk about her. It's only been a couple months, and he's struggling. And so our golf time wasn't really a conversation. It was more of a listening time. He wanted to talk. And that's okay. And worship sometimes is you have to listen to what people want to tell you. And don't be concerned about saying something back, because that's not what they need. They need to be able to talk. So whether it's Sawyer at 6 or my friend at 72, sometimes we need to talk, whether we're young or old. So find somebody, whether they're already in your life or it's a new person, either one's okay, but strike up a conversation with them this week. And if they need to talk, let them do that. Now, if you're needing to talk to someone, you need to find someone that will let you strike up a conversation with them, okay? So that's your homework. And remember, what we're doing is sharing that love of God with all of our neighbors, whoever those may be. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful that we could come together this day. Let us not worship and praise you just inside this building, but let us do it to all of our neighbors, whether they're next door or around the world, however we come in contact with them. Be with us always as we go out into your world to share that love. Amen.